It's from Psalm 145, reading NIV version, a psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him and to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Good evening, church. Really good to see you. And notice, if you were here last Sunday morning, the Bible's not gathering dust this week. All right, I'm going to start with a song which involves the alphabet. I'm not going to be singing, don't worry. And I want you to spot which letter gets repeated in this song. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, Jesus died for you and me. H, I, J, K, L, M, N, gave his life for sinful men. Amen. O-P-Q-R-S-T-U, I believe the Bible's true. U-V-W, God has promised you. X-Y-Z, a home ahead. Who got the repeated letter? You. Yes, correct. Well done. I learned that song as a child, and when I wrote it down in preparation for this, I was gutted that there was a letter repeated, because I thought it was really, really clever. We're looking at an even better alphabet song this evening. Psalm 145, this psalm of praise of David, is an alphabet song. It begins with successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So really what we have here is a complete A to Z of praise. It's an A to Z from beginning to end, praise and worship psalm, and it's praise forever and ever. Notice the first two verses and the last verse. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. And as I said right at the end, let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. So David has penned a psalm of A to Z, complete praise forever and ever. But can we really sing a psalm like this? How can we say, I will praise you forever, when death's round the corner? How can we say one generation will commend your works to the next when our children turn away from the faith? How can we say that the Lord is good to all when millions are in poverty? How can we say the Lord gives food to all when there are so many starving? How can all God's works praise him when so much has gone wrong in 2020. Well, David shows us the answer, because we can sing this psalm. However rough today's been, however rough this week, this month, this year has been, we can sing this psalm. And it's because of where we are in the book. We're used to thinking of the psalms as nothing more than kind of isolated hymns, but really there's so much more going on. They're arranged to tell a story from beginning to end. At the start of the psalms, they start in a garden in chapter 1. And things progress as you go through the five books that make up the Psalms. The first two books, they show the ups and downs of David's reign. Then you get to the middle book, and it's exile. Israel plunges into exile after their sin. Book 4 gets a bit better as they return to the law, and then things get really good in book 5, where we are, as the hope of the kingdom of God is rekindled. So here we are in Psalm 145. We're at the end of the story. And David is looking forward to what praise will be like in the kingdom of God. This psalm is so optimistic because it's looking forward, anticipating what praise will be like in God's kingdom forever. So David wrote this, looking forward to God's promises being fulfilled. Israel sung this in exile, looking forward to the Messiah's reign and God's kingdom. And we sing this as we look forward to what praise will be like when Jesus comes again and reigns on the earth. So, as we look at this psalm in the next few minutes, let's allow our worship today to be shaped by what it will be like in eternity forever. I pray that this psalm would inspire complete praise, even in a complete mess, because our God is completely deserving of our worship. We're just going to look at three different things that David praises God for in this psalm. We'll start off with praise for his works. Verses 4 to 8, they describe the worship of God from one generation to the next. David's experience in his own family was of the gradual turning away of his children from the Lord. And Israel, well, they saw the gradual decline that led towards exile. But David here is looking forward to a time when generations will pass on the praise of God as they recount the stories of what he has done. Just pick up some of those verses there. They commend your works. They tell of your mighty acts. They tell of the power of your awesome works. Picture it. Fathers, they sit their sons down on their knee and they tell them about how God rescued Israel from Egypt with mighty power. Mothers, they chat with their daughters and tell how God moved the hearts of kings to rescue his people from Babylon. And the children, well, their eyes widen and their mouths hang open. They're amazed at the glory of their God. And together they sing praise in this intergenerational worship band. David also meditates on these mighty works himself, as you can see there. And having considered them, he comes to the conclusion in verse 8. Great words. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And this is what our worship is going to look like in the future. We won't be sitting in our living rooms watching a screen. We won't even be in this room sort of spread out, socially distant. No, we'll be together with the innumerable generations that make up the family of God. And one generation at a time will just tell the stories of what God has done. One by one, each generation will have their story. And all the other generations will be gathering in, eyes wide, mouths hanging open, eager to hear about the great story of what God has done. The story with the hero in every generation being Jesus. Jesus, who died to set us free. Jesus, who rose victorious from the grave. Jesus, who ascended to heaven so that we might follow. So yes, We will praise God for his works in his kingdom. We too will sing the Lord, as we already have done actually. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. But let's not wait till then. May I speak as a youngish person just for a moment? And I hope I'm not being too cheeky in saying this. But older people, we need your stories. We need to hear your stories of what God has done in your life. I'm sorry for when we don't listen. I promise we'll try to do better. But we need those stories because your stories are better than ours. God's works have stood the test of time in your life. So please tell us what the Lord is doing and point us to Jesus, point us to the cross. And younger people, we don't get off lightly here either because we've got to ask them. What a fantastic way for us to all praise the Lord together for his works. Secondly, praise for his kingdom. Verses 9 to 13, it's the shift of focus from God's works to God's kingdom. And from this point onwards, notice how often the word all is mentioned. It's yet another way David is emphasizing this A to Z of complete praise forever. All God's works praise him because they all speak of his goodness and compassion to all. So here we're talking about God's goodness in a general sense. So even in a world like this, broken by sin, even towards a human race, turned against God, he still gives generously and he still gives inclusively. So enjoying a good steak, enjoying a roof over our head, friendship or date night, these are all gifts from God that should be reasons to praise him for his goodness. But in these verses, David points to a more specific reason for our praise. Because the great hope of the Bible isn't just general, temporary pleasures. It's the kingdom of God that thrills David's heart in these verses. David himself, he was king over what became a mighty, wealthy, powerful nation under his reign. And yet, he was looking for more. He wanted more. You may have noticed he's already opened this psalm by addressing my God, the King. And here he joins with all God's faithful people in telling the glory of God's kingdom. Let me read some of those verses. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. So as I said, David is looking forward to a kingdom far greater than his own. And these words could almost be a reflection of God's promises to David, written in 2 Samuel verse 7. God said, "When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom." David was looking forward to a kingdom that would last forever. This is the kingdom that he's singing about, and this will be our song of praise too. Those of us who've put our faith in Christ, it's not only about personal salvation and sins forgiven. We have a place in a new world. We belong in a new kingdom under God's rule and blessing. Don't you long for that world now, maybe even more than ever? We live in a world where humanity has staged a coup. We've rejected God's reign and we've grasped the throne for ourselves. And look what a mess we've made. I mean, even in the last few days, yet another unarmed black man was killed by the police in America. Shot 7 times in the back. Do we need to look any further than that to know that this world is broken? But hallelujah, a new world is coming. A new world where Jesus reigns. A new world where there is justice, where there is beauty, where there is perfection. And we will live there. And we will praise God for it. But God's kingdom isn't just something in the future. We are sort of waiting for the brownies to come out of the oven, but we get to lick the bowl in the meantime. What do I mean by that? That sounds very strange. We get a taste of God's kingdom now. And when we see God's kingdom, even this week, we should praise him for it. So when we admire the godly, persevering love of a faithful brother or sister in Christ, let's praise God. That's God's kingdom breaking in. When we see people standing up for what is just and right, let's praise God. That is God's kingdom coming. And especially when a new believer is added to his kingdom, as I had the pleasure of hearing on Friday. Praise God. His kingdom is coming. We'll praise God for his works. We'll praise God for his kingdom. And praise for his provision. Have you noticed over the past few months how there's been a bit of a trend towards self-sufficiency? People who previously struggled to keep a plastic plant alive suddenly have green fingers. So tomatoes, cucumbers, potatoes and chickens are springing up everywhere. It's impressive, isn't it? And it's certainly commendable. But it's worth remembering, in a broader sense now, that self-sufficiency and Christianity are mutually, they are just utterly incompatible. Essential to being a Christian is the realization that we are helpless and we're in need of God to provide. David not only knows this, but celebrates it in verses 14 to 20. In verse 14, he tells of a God who provides for the weak. The Lord upholds all who are falling and lifts up all who are bowed down. When we see an elderly neighbour on their way home, weighed down by groceries, in danger of tripping, we rush to help them, don't we? And God feels that same rush of compassion and love and concern when he sees us in our weakness. On those days where your burden just feels too heavy, where you don't feel like you can even get up, it's that weighty, and your next step is uncertain, how precious to hear the words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Our God provides help for the weak. Let's praise him for it. In verses 15 and 16, David celebrates God's provision of food for all creatures. No creature, however intelligent, however sophisticated, is beyond the need of the Lord's supply. And even the most competent gardener is merely borrowing from God's pantry. Continuing, next, David praises God for providing answers to prayer. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. Note here how personal God's provision is. Our Father isn't in the business of parachuting in care packages. He doesn't throw aid from afar. He is near to all who call on him. Did you know that God's best answer to prayer is his presence? David clarifies that this privilege is reserved for those who call on God's name with truth and fear, or we might say integrity and respect. So know this, if you call on God, admitting your flaws and acknowledging your need of a saviour to come before this holy and awesome God, he will always, always answer. How can we be sure he's listening?
because God, our provider, parachuted in his Son to his people, broken down in a broken world, covered in shame and a guilty sentence. God came near to save. Let's praise him for it. He answers our prayers. And finally, David praises God for providing protection for his own. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. If you know the story of David, you know that he knew what it was like to need protecting. All his life, the wicked were never far away with their plots, with their spears. Yet, his testimony all the way through was, "My God provided protection." But even more than that, he's also looking forward to when God's protection will be final, when his protection will be complete, and when his enemies will threaten no more. And this is the testimony of the church as well, isn't it? Starting with Jesus and throughout church history, the wicked have never been far away, always trying to tear down God's work. Religious leaders and Roman soldiers, atheist philosophies and Islamic State, all have tried to tear down the church, but none will succeed. God always provides protection in the end. God will never allow his church to fall. And one day Jesus will return. His enemies and the enemies of the church will be no more. God protects. It's so good that God provides protection. It's so good that God provides answers to prayer. It's so good that God provides help to the weak. Why would we want to be self-sufficient when we have such a God as this that we can praise? This is David's last psalm as we come to a conclusion. Last psalm in the book for David. David knew what it was like to lament. I think most of his psalms would fall into the lament category. But he knew that praise was coming. And maybe you're in a season of lament at the moment. It's hard. God wants to hear your cries of anguish. God wants to hear you in your weakness. But know as well that praise is coming. That story through the Psalms is the story of humanity. And praise is coming. God's kingdom is coming. We will celebrate. We will rejoice. We will worship. So why not start now? I think we spend so much time looking in. And when we look in, there's a million reasons to lament. But when we look out, when we look to our God, when we look to what he has done, when we look to his kingdom, when we look to his providing heart, we have so many reasons to praise. May David's last words in the Psalms be ours this week. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you. Oh, great God, you are so deserving of our praise. Father, help us to lift our eyes. Help us to lift our eyes and remember what you've done in Jesus. Help us to lift our eyes and see the glory of your kingdom. Help us to lift our eyes to your providing care over us. Almighty God, we pray that you would fill us with praise this week. Maybe even for the first time ever. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd love to be able to say let's sing, but let's meditate in our hearts as the musicians sing, O Great God.